Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It's time.
Time for Silver and Black today.
To the ground game. Touchdown, Las Vegas! We're breaking down the latest Raider news from on and off the field and bringing you conversations with newsmakers and record breakers. So hold on, Raider Nation. It's time to
get it on.
Here's your host, Scott Goldbranson and Mo Moten.
Happy Friday, Raider Nation. It's time for the weekend. That means what? We're just a little bit away from some football tomorrow as the Raiders roll down to South Beach. Yeah, they're rolling. Are they having drinks, Mo? Or are they? No, they're there for football, and we're here to talk about Raiders football. Mo Moten, he is the national NFL reporter from Bleacher Report, also the Raiders columnist at SportsNot.com. You can follow him on Twitter at M-O-E-M-O-T-U-N. You can see it right there on the screen if you're watching us, or you can follow me at LV Gully. If you're listening to us on our audio feed, subscribe, please. Give us a five-star rating. Also, if you're on YouTube, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Okay, enough of that stuff. But we are here on this Friday because we're going to give you the gift of knowledge so that when you tune in to the Raiders game tomorrow night, you can focus in on a couple guys who might be fighting for their roles or for a couple guys we think we just want to see play to see where they're at. So, Mo, let's dive in and talk about the top three guys. We'll start with your first player, if you will, please. Inform folks of who you're going to be keying in on tomorrow night when the Raiders kick off in Miami.
I briefly mentioned him on during Thursday's show, Rocky Sin, who came back to practice on Wednesday. A lot of people, Rocky Sin to start. I'm not as high saying that he's going to be a lock there simply because if Anthony Averett is on the field, I think he has a chance to kind of wrestle some snaps away from him. Had an up and down year last year with the Colts, who's basically the third cornerback on that depth chart. So I want to see how well he plays. Is he back up to speed after missing some time? Can he solidify that starting role and basically start the season off on the right foot? I think it's very important for him to get some snaps because, again, he has to get back up to speed.
Absolutely. And that's a good one. Best name in football still. Still my favorite name. I wanted the Raiders just to draft him so I could say the name a lot. That's how much I like his name. But, yes, huge player with such upside. And so I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I want to see him out there. I want to see him. I want to see Trayvon Mullen a little bit coming off that foot injury. I want to see him break full on that foot and see how it works in the game of play. So we'll see that. My first guy I'm going to give you is someone you also mentioned on Thursday's show, and we've actually talked a lot about over the last week, and that is running back Kenyon Drake. I think he's fighting for a roster spot. He might already be, oh my gosh, there's a fly in my studio. He might already be on the outside looking in. So to me, as you so finally pointed out last show, Mo, if he plays a lot of snaps in this game against Miami tomorrow night, that tells me they are actively shopping him, trying to get out a little bit of that salary so they can go out and spend and either trade or sign free agents to fill some of those defensive spots and, of course, address some depth on that offensive line.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. It's a matter of if he's playing three quarters with a bunch of third stringers, that's a red flag. But just to bounce back off of your pick, my second guy, Bilal Nichols. Like Rocky Sin, came back to practice on Wednesday, spent a lot of time on the PUP list. The Raiders fans obviously happy to see him back because the defensive line has been the talk leading up to this game tomorrow. So I want to see what he's got. Can he fix some of the problems in run defense? Can he apply some pressure on the interior? Because the Raiders need that between Max Crosby and Chandler Jones. I think he's probably the most important interior defensive lineman on that roster because he has the ability to play on all three downs. He has the ability to stop the run and rush the passer. And I think if he shows that, it'll quell some of the concerns Raiders fans have about the interior defensive line.
Yes, absolutely. All right, moving to my second player to watch in this Dolphins-Raiders matchup, it's Jermaine Illuminor. I want to see him at right tackle. I want to see him out there because I think he has the opportunity to win that job. And if he can play well enough, he might be able to just save the Raiders some money so that they can invest it in other places. They still need some depth there. I still would like to see them, as we've said for 2 weeks now, sign a veteran for that offensive line, especially that right side. But Mo, I know you've talked a lot about his performance. I like what he's done. I like the improvement. I like everything about what he's done. Does he make some mistakes? Of course he does. Every offensive lineman does. It's not an easy position to play. But his progression, to me, has been pretty impressive through this training camp and in through these two games.
Yeah, absolutely. The fact that he could play inside and outside, I think, is valuable to the team. I think he could be their emergency right tackle if they aren't completely sold on Thea Mumford or Alex Leatherwood. I think he's probably the safest guy to put there unless they bring in someone else off the scrap heap. I think they trust him because he's played with the Patriots for 2 years. He played the right tackle position under Josh McDaniels, and they brought him back for a reason. Now, if he's your starter, he's more of a placeholder than a long-term solution, but at least you can depend on him, right?
Well, and the depth, right? Because even though Josh McDaniels said they had depth, but he is there. If he can play solid at right tackle, then you say, okay, now if we go get a guy, if there's somebody out there that we can go come in who's a bona fide starter there, because Illuminor can move around, to your point, now you start to build that kind of depth you need in the trenches to really win up front.
Yeah, and I said this on a previous show. He reminds me of Denzel Good, where he could play a right tackle, he could play inside, he's reliable, versatile, and I think with Denzel Good retired now, he's the new Denzel Good coming back to the Rays, I should say, under the new regime. But just to stay on that right tackle position, the third guy that I'll be looking at is whoever starts at the position, whether it's Jermaine Illuminor or Thea Mumford or Alex Leatherwood. Just a quick update on the position. Tashawn Reed of The Athletic said on Wednesday that Thea Mumford took most of the first team reps before he got banged up late in practice. And Alex Leatherwood was mostly with the backups. So there were a lot of people on our post-game show after the Vikings game saying, oh, just because Alex Leatherwood was playing with the third and fourth stringers doesn't mean anything. He could start week one. And I think it's clear that he is not in the front-running position for that spot.
No.
I mean, we started off training camp where he was behind Brandon Parker. Brandon Parker, before he got hurt, was taking most of the first-team reps. Now he's taking most of the backup reps, and Thea Mumford is taking most of the first-team reps in a recent practice. That should tell you something. So whoever starts at right tackle against Miami, that may tell us a lot about how the Raiders feel about the position, who's the front runner there.
That's a great point. By the way, still nothing on Brandon Parker. I know Raider Nation kind of doesn't care. They'd like him to go away. But interesting that we've heard zero about it, maybe because people realize he's not the answer there, and so they don't care as much. But usually you get some sort of update, but that's not a good sign for him. That no one's even talking about. Nobody asked the question, and the coaches haven't given us an update either.
I think it's a sign that either he is actually going to eventually go on IR, because usually sometimes a player gets hurt and you don't hear anything about it. It's real quiet. It kind of reminds me of Richie Incognito last year.
Yes.
Remember, he got hurt?
Yeah, great example.
You didn't hear a lot about him. It was kind of tight-lipped. I think Brandon Parker, if he's not back at practice in the next week, it's a possibility he may actually go on IR. The interesting thing, though, if they were really worried about Brandon Parker, I'm not sure why they wouldn't bring in a right tackle if they felt like he would be gone for the year, because they did resign him to a decent contract for a backup. So I felt like if they were really concerned about him, they would bring in at least a right tackle for a tryout, and they haven't done that yet. So it's up in the air with him. I don't know what's going on there.
So, Mo, my third guy is a guy, just because I have a soft place in my heart for him, and I know you do too, and it's not been going well for him, and that is Amik Robertson. I think Amik Robertson this week's probably playing for his job, period for, you know, just to be around because and to extend it another week. He's the odd man out. He has not played well. And I think the chances are slim, but I'm going to be watching just to see because a kid like that who I talked to early on when he was drafted, you like to see something good happen. And maybe it's not, maybe this isn't the place for him, but you'd like to see him at least put some good film together so that he could maybe catch on somewhere on a practice squad and continue his career.
Yeah. And I wrote about that at the beginning of the week that I think I have Sam Webb ahead of Amik Robinson. I think actually Sam Webb could leapfrog Amik Robinson and cause Amik Robinson to lose his roster spot. And I own up to that. A lot of Raiders fans know I've been a guy who said, give Amik a chance and maybe he could show you something. But after his performance against the Vikings, I can't defend him anymore. He had two mental errors, as I pointed out, the play action play where he bit on that, and then he had a holding penalty. It's just not a good look with a coach's staff that's harped so much on details and not making mental errors. And he made two mental errors on one drive. It just wasn't a good look. And as you said, I don't think even if he has a decent game against the Dolphins, I still have trouble putting him on the roster. It just could be a showcase that maybe he can catch on somewhere else. Another team will like what he did.
Yeah, that's what you got to hope for is that he can put some good film together so that your most recent stuff is good and you can catch on, maybe get on a practice squad and stick around. I mean, that's a lot of guys do that. Sometimes stick around for 4 or 5 years before they get back on an active roster and contribute. So hopefully that happens.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Another thing, though, I want to mention, because we talked about Kenyon Drake in this game against the Dolphins tomorrow night, and we talked about if he plays a lot, it's a bad sign for him at the Raiders. Good for the Raiders from the point that they can create more value, which he already has intrinsically. But there are guys, I think, who might play quite a bit, and it's a good thing. And I think one of those guys was the star of the game last week, and that's DJ Turner. I think DJ Turner will get a lot of snaps. Because that position, as we talked about on Thursday's show, very competitive wide receiver. But I think these coaches like what he's doing. He showed out last game, and I think they now get to the point where, like, okay, show us again. And if you are consistently doing this, even against, you know, second and third stringers in the preseason, then he continues to help himself and make that wide receiver room even more competitive.
Yeah, two things I want to discuss here. The big question now is, do the Raiders keep 5 or 6 wide receivers? If they keep 6, I think DJ Turner has a great chance of being one of those 6 because he can contribute on special teams as a returner. If they keep 5, it's probably a battle between him and T-Billy Tyron Johnson because I think Mac Hollins is pretty much safe. He was basically a special teams maven in Miami, so Miami's familiar with him. He seems to have a good rapport with Derek Carr. That matters. Keelan Cole has the reputation. He has the pass production. I think the Raiders see him as a role player who can give you a big play here and there. Had a pretty decent showing against the Vikings. So I think it comes down to DJ Turner and Tyron Johnson. Both guys have some speed, which is something that, the Raiders wide receiver core lacks. So I believe they both have a chance for the same reason. Now, whoever has a better game will probably get the front-running position for that, that fifth spot. And then we'll see who they keep. But DJ Turner is a guy that I really like. I saw 84 all-purpose yards against the Vikings. Had a good punt return. Had that 34-yard touchdown reception. You saw the speed on that touchdown run after the catch. So I like what he's doing. He was one of my stock-up guys on the SportsNot article. And I think he has a legit chance. And if he gets a lot of snaps and he shows out again, it's going to go well for him.
Yeah, Yeah, it will. And you brought up the point about special teams, too, because I think that's a key area. We talked about some of the miscues on special teams, and so I'm interested to watch this game, too, to see, because I would assume with the first 2 weeks with some big glaring mistakes on special teams that they've worked on it a little more, and they're able to kind of get it tightened up. But one of the things, too, I saw some discussion around this. With Hunter Renfrow now signing that new deal, and what he's doing, if I'm the Raiders, I no longer have him doing kicks, right? Punt returns as well. And so I think this is where a guy like DJ Turner or Tyron Johnson, one of those guys, or Hollins, are so important, because you're losing that Renfrow piece on the punt return side of it on special teams. You need somebody to fill that spot. You need somebody who's going to be able to create there with the new kicking rules and all the rules in the NFL. It's harder these days. But nonetheless, that's another reason why these wide receiver roles are so important.
Yeah, and definitely Hunter Renfrow is one of the slipperiest guys I've seen do punt returns. So yes, he's hard to bring down. Not the fastest guy, but he's hard to corral and bring down. But I don't want that guy getting hurt, because all respect to Mac Collins, Keelan Cole, DJ Turner, and Tyron Johnson. But if one of those guys has to be your wide receiver two all of a sudden,
no.
Even though you got Darren Waller there, you don't feel as comfortable with that. So keep Hunter Renfrow healthy and on the field.
No, it's like having a plane with four engines and you lose one. Yeah, you could fly with three, but you're not going to be as good as you are with four. And so you want to keep Hunter Renfrow healthy. And even though he did it for the team before, and we all loved watching it, to your point, because he was so elusive and his feet are so quick, it's not something you want to do. So it'll be interesting to see who develops there and how they address it. I want to see in this game what they do on special teams as well, from your point on Tuesday, which was lanes, keeping the lane integrity on kickoff and punt, because that's been an issue. And so some of those guys, and again, some of these guys will earn their roster spot by their special teams play. And so you want to see that. And some of these guys are going to have to do that if they want to make the roster.
Yeah, special teams is, someone reached out to me on Twitter. I forgot his Twitter handle. Shout out to him, though. He said he wanted to hear national media talk more about the Raiders, and even the beat reporters, just talk more about the Raiders' special teams issues. He feels like not a lot of people have touched on it. And kudos to you, because you're the guy who wanted to bring it up and do a segment on it. And you're like, yeah, people don't want to hear about special teams, but it's important. Because if you remember the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs earlier this year, they lost that game to the 49ers partially because, well, a large part because of their special teams unit. And that's why they brought in Rich Bisaccia to fix that problem. So the Raiders have some issues to work out in that third phase of the game.
They do. And they can, again, close games in the NFL sometimes, nobody wants to leave it to a kicker. But sometimes it's field position, right? Sometimes it's a punt late in the game when you have a small lead and you got to keep the defense in a better position to help win the game for you instead of giving the offense a short field. So that's why it matters. And so I'm going to be watching that as well. Well, Mo, it's good. It's just football. And I know we're going to be back on Saturday, which will be like our fifth day in a row. We didn't think we were going to do 5 days in a row, but we're just so jazzed up because you guys keep us going. You guys are like our gasoline, right? I mean, it's been amazing, dude, with the Odyssey Original Podcast. Our audience has grown so quickly. We had a great core audience, and we still hear from all those folks. But the audience has grown so quickly, and they're so interactive.
Right, and I try to drop in when the video drops on YouTube to interact with people. So please join us in the live chat when these videos drop, because I try to interact with everyone, even on Twitter. Yes. Sometimes you guys give feedback there. And we try to answer questions as much as we can when Scott doesn't yell at me about answering too many questions and not leaving enough content for the show. So we try to interact and make it fun and make it worthwhile for you guys.
We do. Absolutely. And thank you guys for your support. As always, it's just huge. And it really keeps us going. It gives us the energy. We both work hard at what we do, and we have multiple things that we do. So we're doing something all the time. And so to do this and to keep the energy we have, it's all because of you guys. You guys keep it going, and we certainly appreciate that. And I know Mo and I will forever be grateful for that, and we'll continue to give you our best. And believe me, even we try to thank everybody who gives us kudos. We try to interact with people who give us good criticisms too. Like if we forget something or if you disagree with us, we love that. Like we love the respectful debate because we're wrong all the time. At least I am. Mo's always right. I'm wrong. But we get a chance to interact with you guys, and it's awesome because that, to me, is what Raider Nation is all about. It's all about being family and talking and just sometimes saying, no, you're full of it. But at the end of the day, we can sit down and have a beer together. So thank you for that, and we appreciate it. And we look forward to doing it again. So, Mo, we'll see you, and, of course, Murph will join us after the game. This week I'm hoping, and I'm pretty sure, 99%, that we won't have a technical. We had a technical issue after the last game, which drove me nuts. I didn't sleep the whole night because of it, because I'm a perfectionist when it comes to that stuff. But it's going to be fun to climb back on with Murph and get his opinion on that and take a look at what the Raiders are up to, what they were able to accomplish this week.
Yeah, Murph adds a great touch to the show from the fan perspective, and I love having him on because he always brings something to the table that I didn't even see, that I didn't notice, because he has that fan perspective. Because, you know, we kind of identify as the professional journalist types, and it's always good. And I don't like the divide of fans and journalists. I like to, yeah, as you said, it's a community. We're all in this together, and Murph just brings another side to it that I often enjoy.
Well, and I love it because Murph never candy coats anything. When things go well, he's going to cheerlead, and that's totally great. Like, that's fine, and he should. If Derek Carr goes out and throws 8 touchdowns and passes for 600 yards, great. But if Derek Carr goes out and passes for 80 yards and 6 interceptions, he's going to call it what it is, right? So that's what I love about him. That's why he's on this show with us, because he's honest. You're always going to get true feelings. It's not going to be rose or silver and black colored glasses. It's not going to be overly negative. It's not going to be overly positive just for the sake of it. He's going to give it to you like it is. So we appreciate that, and we look forward to doing it. Yeah, that'll be right after the game on Saturday. It'll be live. That one we do absolutely live, which will be this fly still coming through my studio. We do that live on YouTube, and we do it on Twitch now. So it'll be this week starting on Twitch. So if you're a gamer or you like watching your stuff on Twitch, you'll be able to see us there as well. And we'll interact live with you too. We'll answer your questions as they come in, and in addition to when we premiere videos during the week. All right, Mo. Let's get out of here for the night. It's Friday night. We're going to go have some fun. We're going to go relax, and then we'll be right back at you Saturday.
Yeah, I'm just going to have some sushi, maybe watch some, you know, get ready for some WNBA, you know, like Darren Waller, get some rehab from an injury. So I'm back in full force for the next week, and then cuts come up. So that's going to be interesting. Huge. How the Raiders handle their cuts when it gets down to 80 plays, because we're getting very, very close to the 50-man roster cut down.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be a big week, and we'll have lots of coverage of that and more, I am sure. All right, for Mo Moten, I am Scott Gilbranson. As always, make sure you subscribe to the show, whether you're on audio, whether you're on video, it doesn't matter. Just please do that for us, and give us a 5-star rating if you're listening to us on Apple or Google or Spotify, wherever you get it. Please do that for us. And if you're on YouTube, subscribe, hit the notification bells, and get your friends at Raider Nation to subscribe wherever you're listening or watching the show. We certainly appreciate that. Until next time, have a great weekend, Raider Nation. Be good to one another. Be positive. It's a good time to be alive. It's a good time to be a member of Raider Nation. We'll talk to you tomorrow.